Right. So today we will look at the prison epistles and looking at these letters that were written from captivity. And we look into the heart of Paul, the apostle, as he wrote with joy in his heart, especially from the letter to the Philippians, as we look at today. So, what are the prison epistles? Some time ago, when I read, especially from Philippians, I was just struck with the tone of the letters that Paul wrote to these churches. And generally, the four letters, three that he wrote to these churches and one to Philemon, were believed to have been written from the time he was a Roman prisoner. The Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, the Colossians, and then the one he wrote to Philemon. These letters were addressed specifically to these individual churches, and in the case of Philemon, to himself. And they were addressed to the specific first century Christians and the church. But I believe, and I know you would believe with me, that the message of the prison epistles, they are still relevant today, influential and in fact instructional to Christians living today, in our day. And so while he was there, he mentions from each of these letters, he mentions the fact that he was in prison. For example, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he had this to say: "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles." And in, also in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 1, he also says this: "As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live life worthy of the calling you have received." And in Colossians also, in chapter 4, verse 3, he mentions this: "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." And he concluded Colossians in chapter 4, verse 18. He concluded also by saying, "I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." And also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul had this to say: "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." And so while writing also to Philemon, in Philemon chapter 1, verse 10, Paul says this: "That I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains." So it is generally accepted, with all these things being mentioned, that Paul wrote these epistles, these letters, while he was in prison in Rome, under house arrest somewhere in Rome. And it is generally believed, even though the exact dates that he wrote each of these prison epistles is unknown, but it's generally believed that the two-year period which he was in prison, that is AD 60 to 62, might have been the time that he wrote these epistles and these letters. So he also mentioned in Acts, if you read towards the last chapter of Acts, if you read, you also see it mentioned where he referenced where he was guarded by soldiers. And also in Acts 28, verse 30, he was permitted and allowed to receive visitors while he was in prison. And also in Philippians 4:22, he detailed the fact that he mentioned those who belong to Caesar's household. And so with these we believe that he wrote these epistles from prison around this time that I have mentioned. But what is an epistle? Someone asked me the other day, what is an epistle? The prison epistles, what is an epistle? Epistle is from the Greek word epistole. Is that how to say it? Epistole, which is just a simple translation of a letter or a message. And there were letters or messages sent either in written form or on oral form. But something different from your common letters of today. Epistles in those days were those messages from someone in an authority area, a place, someone with which is held in a position of authority, maybe in the church, not just your personal correspondence like you write today, or emails, or you know, text messages, or emojis you send to someone. Epistles in those days are something from someone in a level of authority who is generally regarded as a teacher or a leader. Now, when we look in the Bible, in the New Testament, of all the 26 books, 27 books in the New Testament, 21 of them are epistles. You see that? And of all the other epistles, 13 of them were written by Apostle Paul. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, like I mentioned. So, while the message of Christ was spreading in the Roman Empire, there was an increase in the number of people who came to believe the gospel. And scattered in various places, because of where they were, it was difficult to reach them and to preach to them. And so it necessitated the writing of letters to them. So these people were written to encourage them in their faith. And I believe what was written to them is still relevant to us today as we read, because they wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed. And I believe that passage so, so much. Now, the letter to the Philippians, we recall that Paul and his companions began this church at Philippi on his second missionary journey. We see this in Acts 16. You remember when the dear lady who had the spirit of divination was going off and destructing places, and then Paul spoke to the spirit behind what she was doing, and she was delivered, which landed them in prison. So it was while they were there preaching and serving the Lord that this church was established. And we are told that this is the very first church that was established on the European continent, which is in Macedonia, located in the present-day northeastern Greece, somewhere in northeastern Greece. So Paul visited them, encouraged them, and then while he was in prison, they sent Epaphroditus with some help, some financial help, to encourage him, to bless him, as they usually do. And while he received that, he sent back now a letter with Epaphroditus to encourage them and to thank them for all that they have done for him. Looking through, before I go to our key passage today in Philippians chapter 1, I just want to dwell on that very first chapter and those few verses. I wanted to look at some of the prevailing passages and resounding themes in this book of Philippians. I've put it for us there. In Philippians chapter 1, verses He talks about God completing the work he started in our lives. And in chapter 1, 12 to 16, he says, finding joy in our present suffering. And joy is a recurring theme in this passage. And come to think of it, someone who was in prison, who was supposed to have been in a sort of pity party, but writes about rejoicing, about joy. And that is why it is so important for us to look at what was going on in his mind at the time he was writing to the Philippian church. And also in Philippians 2, 5 to 11, he talks about one day every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. In chapter 3, 7 to 11, he says he counts all loss to compare to knowing Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, 4 and 7, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say again, rejoice. Then following that, he talks about whatever is good, whatever is of good report, think on these things. And also in the 13th verse, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So these are the resounding themes that we find in the book of Philippians. Now, I'd like us to look at Philippians chapter 1. And as we look at this passage, I have highlighted some of the key words and phrases for you to look at as I talk to us this morning. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Paul and Timothy. In the New King James Version, he says, born servants of Jesus Christ. And born servant has come from the Greek doulos, the slave of Christ. It's interesting how he introduces himself, not a slave or a prisoner of Rome, but a prisoner of Jesus Christ, a servant of Jesus Christ, a doulos for Christ. Paul and Timothy writing to this church. And I was this morning, while I was driving to church, I was in my heart asking myself, why was he mentioning Timothy while he was writing in this place? Why was it important for him to mention Timothy? Maybe Timothy was already well known to this church. And maybe he was also trying to lay emphasis on the fact that he was still in constant relationship with this guy called Timothy. And also maybe he was about to send Timothy after now. And so it was an introduction for the father. He was going to send him as a pastor to them. Paul and Timothy. I'm just not alone, but I'm writing also with someone already known to you, whom you hold so dear in your heart, and he is with me, and we are not prisoners. Don't wail for us. Don't weep for us. Don't just bother about us. We are not in prison and languishing in prison. We are prisoners of Jesus Christ. We have surrendered ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, because where he sends, we go. What he says, we do. We are not here to just suffer. We are here as an opportunity of ministering to people for Jesus Christ. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to God's holy people in Jesus Christ, because the epistle to the Philippians was a personal letter from Paul. It wasn't like instruction to correct an issue or something that was reported to him, even though while he wrote to them, he encouraged them in this book, about encouragement from opposition from without, and even some strife and division from within. But the key thing here was writing to people whom he loved. You know, people he holds so dear in his heart. God's holy people. And just writing to them, to the overseers, to deacons, to everyone in the church. And he goes on in verse 2 saying, grace to you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in chains, Paul's heart overflows with love and blessings for his brethren in Philippi. And if you notice from his epistles, the phrase grace and peace is an important construction in all his epistles. Grace and peace, grace and peace. Grace is the presence of God with us. And peace is that inner knowing that God is with us. From the word charis, grace, and the Greek word for peace, eirene. So the dialogue between grace as God's activity and attitude and peace as our experience and response could well provide a framework for understanding the whole letter of Philippians. Grace and peace working in our lives. When we believe, we receive his grace. I believe that. And also, we live in his peace. I believe he has given us grace. Praise God. He has given us the grace. And it is the grace that will see us through. Grace is God's free gift, isn't it? Grace is God's ability imparted to us. Grace is God's favor given to us, irrespective of our shortcomings. Grace is the strength when we are weak. Grace is the power to live a peaceful life in the midst of chaos and the madness around us. Even today, with all the news, all the things happening around the world, the grace of God will provide us with the peaceful life that we are supposed to have. Grace keeps us going. Even we have things around us, report from hospital, report from here and there, grace helps us to smile. Praise God. Grace helps me to smile. And the peace of God is thus subject to what we go through, but what we have in here. And he thanks God for grace and peace for these people. I thank God every time I remember you in verse 3. In all my prayers for all of you, I'll always pray with joy. With what?
Joy.
With joy. Praying with joy. He doesn't pray with sorrow. He didn't pray for them with sorrow. He prayed with joy. And in verse 5, he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And then verse 6, one of my favorites, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So despite his circumstances, Paul's heart was filled with joy and confidence in the Lord that what he had started in the lives of the Philippian people, that the Lord will carry it through. What he has started in my life also, in your life, and let's be confident that he will carry it through. And let's, like Paul, pray with joy in our hearts. You know, the enemy will want us to pray with that sorrowing and sadness and heaviness of heart, but let's not agree with that and pray with joy in our hearts. And he goes on in verse 7, saying, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. You see the tone of the letter here? It's like a friend encouraging another friend. And if you go back to verse 1, when he began, he was not trying to prove his apostleship like he did in some of the epistles. You know, some of the epistles he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, called by God. He was just trying to prove that he was called by God, but he didn't need to do that because he was writing to people who already believed him, received him with all their hearts. They loved him. They were fond of him. And so he was writing to them not to prove himself, but to share his personal love and affection with them. And the fact that he received the grace that they gave him, the gift that they gave him, and he's so thankful to God because of them. And he prays that they will know the joy and the peace of God, and that they will be comforted with the fact that he is here because God had allowed him to be in that prison as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, not as a prisoner of Rome, but someone whom the Lord has sent ahead to use whatever opportunity that he had to preach the gospel. So his heart was not confined to the prison walls. His heart was outpouring with love, love of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, he says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." His heart was steadfast in faith, and he prays for their spiritual growth and for righteousness. And I pray that, just like Paul, that our hearts will be overflowing with the joy of God, and that we will not agree with the enemy, not let him box us at a corner, but that we are vessels of Christ's joy, spreading joy wherever we go. So his letters, though written in chains, as he says, but these were chains of love, binding the early churches closer to Christ. Joy in adversity. It was not a denial of the fact that he was in prison, but it was a testament to his faith, and that he sees beyond the present, and he sees what is coming, what the Lord has prepared for him. So may we, like Paul today, find joy in any situation that we have, in any circumstance that we find ourselves, knowing that those circumstances do not define us. I am not defined by what I go through, but I am defined by my relationship with Jesus Christ, who helps me to go through whatever I'm going through for his glory, and that I will be an encouragement for other people. And just as we listen and we read Tom's book today, you know, seeing and hearing and reading of what the Lord used these people to do, they just comforting me to know that whatever they went through, that we can just rest on the fact that if God did it for him, he can do it also for me. If God saved Apostle Paul and gave him joy even while he was in prison, no matter what situation I'm in, I don't have any excuse. I don't have any excuse not to live for Jesus. Whatever it is, I will live for Jesus Christ. Joy in my heart. He says God is his witness for all that he does. I want us to pray for ourselves and pray for the church in our land, that no matter what we go through, that we will have the joy of Jesus Christ in our lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for those who have gone before us, who carried the torch of your gospel. Thank you, precious Lord, for testimonies that they have left behind, encouraging us in our journey to believe that if they were able to pass through and to have this victory with you, that we are also well able. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to live for you, no matter where we find ourselves, that we are born servants of Jesus Christ. We've been called to serve you in whatever situation, to serve Christ. In fact, to use our circumstances to praise you and to spread your gospel. We pray, O Lord, for your church these days, in whatever opposition we face from within and without, that the joy of the Lord will well up in us and that you will use us for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for us as a fellowship. We know, Lord, that we will walk with you and we will become the people that you want us to be, and that you will go to that place you want us to be. You will lead us to that future that you have prepared for us. I so much believe this in my heart, that you are working out your works in my life and in our lives as a fellowship, and that you will carry us through and that you will see us through. Everything to the glory of your holy name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.